Right, just right there, on the other side, in front of Steve, Bill Steve. So on page three, so we're going to be talking about cultural transformation. So we said in our previous teachings on Wednesday night that if you have the handout from when we started in the hotel, that our responsibility is to bring influence to the world around us. Everybody say influence.
Influence.
So that's that first section there. You can see that. Our responsibility is to bring influence to the community, the city, the country, and the world around us. God only empowers us to pursue his purpose. The things he authors, he empowers. So if you want God's power, you got to do what he's authored. Amen. Amen. He's not going to empower you to do your pleasure. He's going to empower you and I to do his purpose. He's going to empower you and I to do his purpose. Yes. The things he authors, he empowers. So our dispensational mandate above other is, as we'll read here, and I'm going to read to verse 19. I know I got verse 18 in there, but I'm going to read down to verse 19. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And all these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20, I'll just go ahead and read that. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus said, go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Go into all the world. Now, we said the world, the word world is part one of the definitions of the word world is cosmos. The Greek word is cosmos, but it means social order. So in other words, Jesus wants us to penetrate the culture, the social order. Everybody say penetrate the culture.
Penetrate the culture.
And there you exercise dominion to bring the kingdom culture, the kingdom of God culture, to the forefront. So those seven spheres or cultures of influence is where we are to penetrate. So let's just go through a quick kind of a review of some things and then we'll understand something. So we said our mandate, our mission is the Great Commission.
Amen.
So if you think, just like we taught in the hotel, God's not raising up an audience, he's raising up an army. That an army means you belong to the Lord, He is the commander in chief of the body of Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the judge, advocate, general of the body of Christ. He is the supreme ruler, allied commander. All right, that's Jesus Christ. He's Lord. That's what we just sung about. He is Lord, and so he's given us this mission. It's called the Great Commission. Now it's not the Great Omission. And we said it's in different forms in different gospels, to go preach, to go teach, make disciples, Matthew 28's account. And that's what we're going to be talking about on the 25th on discipling, kingdom disciples, because you have to answer the call to be a disciple before you can make disciples.
Amen.
And then, of course, go out, Luke 14, and compel men and women to come where? Come to church. So that's a mission. So you have to almost ascertain, am I doing my mission, my primary purpose, my primary mission? Some people, their mission is just come to church. And we gave you, everybody, a copy of this I Am a Church Member book, because you have to understand what a functioning church member does, what a unifying church member does. Amen? Amen? And come being a part of the church, not just coming to church, being a church, what it is like. It's not about me. It's not about my preferences. What color the carpet should be, what color, how many drapes we should have up, you know, what color the clock should be on the wall. And it gets so in-reach focus, then we exclude the outreach focus, which is God's priority.
Amen.
Are you listening? Amen. Our purpose and goal in this whole transformation concept is to bring transformation to our church. We talked about the new things, the new ways. Many of you heard the teaching on the new wine, the new wineskin. That's just a way of thinking. Your concepts have to be adjusted. You're renewed. Your paradigm has to shift. That means your way you think about church and God and the things of God has to shift.
Yes. Amen.
It has to shift. It can't be old school religious tradition or traditional thinking. You have to think about, I am not just to come to church, I am to be the church.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
And being the church means when the church service ends, when the door is locked and I'm on my car on my way home, I am the church. Amen? Amen? I know who I am in Christ, but I also know who I am in the body of Christ. I know that I have a place, a grace, and a race.
Yes. Amen.
And then, of course, our purpose and goal is to transform our community and our city. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this tonight. But we do this by service. We do this by our love. We do this by sharing Christ and showing Christ. That's our assignment. That is non-negotiable, non-revocable. You can't opt out of it. You're Christian, that's your job. That's the why you exist as a believer. Now remember, we said you were created to do what? Serve God. You were called to what? Serve God. You are commanded to do what? Serve God. Now, too often it's become self-service. Because we fill up our day with our to-do lists. When God has a to-do list for each and every one in this room, with the exception of the babies who are not old enough to walk and talk real good. Are you listening to me? If you are born again, child of God, you've made Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, God has things for you and I to do. And the limit and scope of his to-do list is not limited to just coming to church.
Amen.
It's about being the church. Does everybody see this?
Yes.
And then in our culture, because every family has a culture. That's one area of influence, mountain of influence. Every job employer has a corporate culture. The church has a corporate culture.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? And culture always trumps vision and planning and direction. So if the culture's bad, then everything else doesn't really work right. Same thing you put in the context of your family. If your family culture is just a party and play, then you got to go in and influence that culture, transform that culture. How? Through influence, by serving, by loving, by sharing Christ, and showing Christ. Amen. And so God gives us strategies and tactics on how to do that. If you listen to the Holy Ghost and you want to be a witness, Acts 1:8 is not there for us just to have goosebumps and talk in tongues. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and therefore you qualify as a witness. You shall be witnesses unto me In Jerusalem, that's the close quarters. Your family, your community. Amen. Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He empowers you for the purpose of being a witness. He doesn't empower us so we can have goosebumps and just feel good. That's good. But he empowers us for his purpose. That's why everybody in this room needs the Holy Spirit, and we all need to stay full of the Holy Spirit so we can be under the influence of the greater one on the inside of us. So we can go and be the light, show the Jesus on the inside, working on the outside of us. Can I have an amen to that?
Amen.
Glory to God. So go. Everybody say go.
Go,
go and penetrate culture. Now, let's keep going. Let me grab my notes here. So you see my statement here I have written in there. I believe the Lord said this to my heart. And again, I could miss it, but I believe he said this to me. If we don't go, don't expect to grow. Now, too often, because God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, but he's a rewarder for those who do his will and his work in the earth. And too often, sometimes our salvation level or joy level gets low. How do you keep it? How do you keep it on high? You got to constantly give it away. Because we said your salvation is personal to you, but it's not private to only you. Your salvation is personal, but not private. That means the only way you keep your joy level and your excitement and energy and engagement about being a witness and serving the Lord in your community, in your cultural arenas, in your family, is by giving it away.
Amen.
You can't say, well, I'll just come and serve the Lord for 3 hours on Sunday. That's not going to be good enough. Because you're going to be a frustrated Christian and really angry a lot of times and bitter and disappointed because of life.
Yes.
And the devil.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You got to give it away. You got to keep, the only way you keep giving it away is you keep sharing and showing.
Amen.
You got to be serving others because that's when your joy level is able to be maintained on a high level. So what is your purposes? Well, I don't know how many of you can see this. Let me bring it to the middle. We'll get some scriptures in first, in a second, guys. So we said everybody has three purposes in their lives. Now I'm going to get to the calling in a minute. That's in your notes. But this, everybody needs to understand this purpose thing. So number one is our universal purpose. Everybody say universal purpose.
Universal purpose.
Universal purpose is we are all under command, the great commandment of love. That's our mandate.
Yes.
Everybody, I don't care if you're in Japan, Germany, Ethiopia, Kenya, Nigeria, Great Britain, or United States or San Antonio. Every Christian believer has a universal purpose. We all got the same purpose. The reason we're a Christian is to walk in love, to love one another, and to fulfill the Great Commission in our world, in the world around us, to be a part of the Great Commission. All right? And then there's a united purpose. Everybody say united purpose.
United.
So this is a united purpose. That means us as a church family. So God sends, 1 Corinthians 12:18, God sets members in the body as it's please him. So you don't get to pick where you go to church. God tells you where to go to church.
Amen.
So sometimes we even encourage people, just go to church. Well, they need to go to the right church.
Yes.
They need to go to the church that God has called and set them in.
Amen.
Because they may be an ear that body is missing.
Yes.
And you need to go and get in your place,
yes,
get in your grace, and run your race.
Amen.
Your function is a hearer, the ear, right? That's your place.
Yes.
You can't be a good nose because you can't hear, you can't smell through the ear,
amen,
right? And you can't be a good mouth because you can't talk through the ear. But you can be a great ear. You can be a good ear.
Yes.
So everybody has a united purpose. That means a place, a grace, a race in a company, a believer. God's a team player. He's not a loner. That's why the Godhead is three parts, a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? This team leadership concept rolls all the way down to the church. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king. The anointing was on them. Old, New Testament, everybody's anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
So everybody's anointed to be in a place, to operate in grace, and to run the race.
Amen?
Amen? Everybody say,
I have
a united purpose. And that's usually done through a ministry or local church. We work on this together. Teamwork makes the dream work. Together, everyone achieves more.
Amen.
Teams win. Individuals lose. You'll see that coming up in the NBA playoffs if you watch the basketball. You can't play hero ball in church. Amen?
No.
Isolation and independence is a celebration of selfishness. And you basically take God out of the equation of your life.
Yes.
So that's why with that book, I Am a Church Member, is so good for all of us to read and commit to this. The church is not supposed to be about me.
Amen.
And my preferences.
Amen.
You need to get out of the me-ness into the we-ness.
Amen.
Amen? And so what we have to do, we have to reach. That's our vision. Raise, relate, and revolutionize.
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Let me pull out my little note here on that. So what is the purpose? Why do we reach? Who do we reach? We reach the lost, which is the unsaved, the lonely, the unchurched, and the least, the hungry, the hopeless, the hurting, I mean, those less fortunate, we give to missions, local mission, and with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do we raise? We raise and make disciples, disciplined learners and followers of Jesus Christ. Who do we relate to? We relate to by connecting, communicating, and caring to and for others with love, with the love, life, and light of Christ. Who do we revolutionize? Our community, our city, and our culture for Christ through the kingdom's influence and impact. Hallelujah. That's our purpose. So we shouldn't be talking about anything else. 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells, we all should speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. In other words, division means two visions. That means I got this way I want to go and you got this way you want to go. And then never the two shall meet. Well, you cause division. That's a divisive influence that you're under. You're not under the vision influence.
Amen.
Amen. And then our mission, this is our vision, then our mission is to go, grow, and give. That means I'm on assignment. I've been appointed by God and my pastors, and I'm anointed by God to carry out my assignment, to fulfill my mission. God doesn't anoint you and empower you to sit on the sideline.
Amen.
Somebody says, I'm waiting for the anointing to kick me out. I'm waiting for the Lord to pick me up out of my chair and do it. He's not going to pick you up out of your chair. You're going to step out in faith, and then the unction, the anointing, follows your faith.
Amen.
And some people have the faith to step out, but they don't have the faithfulness to stick it out. Now, remember, when I was in the Army, y'all heard me say this, the first general order was, and Brother Lou, I don't know if you remember this one, or Pastor Cynthia, you remember. The first general order is, I will guard the limits of my post, and I will not quit my post until properly relieved. In other words, you stayed on your job until you were relieved. Who hired you? God did.
Amen.
Who assigned you? God did.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You don't quit when you get tired. You stop when you're finished and when you're through. Everybody in the kingdom of God has work to do. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. It's only that people who refuse to go to work. Amen.
Amen.
And we know there is a unique purpose. Everybody say unique purpose.
Unique purpose.
That's to me. That's me. What is my giftedness? What is my specific grace and spiritual giftedness? My heart passions. Romans 11:29 tells us that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God calls you to a place and a person for a purpose with a plan. That's your uniqueness. Why are you here? Well, God called you here. What for? Well, you should know. Your giftedness, your spiritual gifts, your heart passions, your abilities, your personality, your experiences all shaped together to create your unique purpose in the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure I don't go over. Okay, everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay, so and going back to our sheet here, he's called us with a high calling, a holy calling. A heavenly calling. Everybody say high calling.
High calling.
Holy calling.
Holy calling.
Heavenly calling.
Heavenly calling.
So we must be convinced in our hearts and thoroughly confident in our belief systems that the call of God on our lives is just as important as the call of God to 5-4 ministry. See, too often the religious thinking tradition or the old wineskin is that the pastor is the only one called or the few people in leadership is the only one called. No, you're called. You're called. Everybody's called. I mean to point this at I'm not going to throw it at you, sister. That wouldn't be right. Praise God. Everybody say, I am called. And so that speaks to the high calling, speaks to his priority. So this is priority in your life. Now, you may do this job vocationally, but you have a spiritual vocation while you're there. You have a calling there. You got to walk worthy of that calling. You got to realize this. You've been separated unto this. So it's holy. That means God has created you and called you exclusively for this purpose. And then it's heavenly because that means you're backed by heaven. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a representative of heaven on that job. Now, how do you create and generate influence? Well, you begin to serve. You serve your boss, he or she.
Amen.
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 You listen to the desire of your heart, which is tied to your natural and spiritual gifting and your heart passions, and it helps you define your unique purpose. 1 Corinthians 7:20, I'm reading from page 3 here. Let each one remain in the same calling which he was called. And when you do that, the Lord will give you dominion and authority in the arena you've been called, anointed, and assigned to. See, when I step out and do something I'm not called to do, then I lose the grace and I fall on my face. The anointing provides for you in your place. And that enables you to deal with spiritual and natural opposition in that arena to fulfill and complete the will of God for your life. Now, one of the biggest deceptions is that the enemy brings is to make you think that I can't command and control things in my family. Well, that's a lie. When you've got the authority of the believer, the anointing and the power of God rising on the inside of you, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, you overcome them. So God in you is 1,000 times bigger than anything outside of you.
Amen.
Everybody say,
I'm 1,000 times
bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. But the problem is people get caught up with looking in the natural. They're walking not by faith, they're walking by their sight and their flesh. They see their father-in-law, mother-in-law, cousin, and uncles and aunts acting up, cutting up, acting like the devil. And they said, I can't do nothing with this. And the devil looks like he's real big and real loud in your family. And you think, well, I can't influence them. And you think God is not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. And he told, remember, we shared the story. He used Brother Hagin. He said, I used my faith all the way out to my second and third cousin. What was his purpose? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, and on your whole household. So God promises you and I family salvation. What that means, he empowers you to be a change agent in your family. Now, you have to believe that, and then you have to act upon that. That's your faith in action. Amen. Some people think, I don't believe God can even change somebody. Who's telling you that? Who's telling you that God can't change anybody in your family? God can't touch anybody in your heart, anybody's heart and life in your family. That's the devil.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Now, as we get into this next slide, I don't know if you got the text with the video. Yeah. Let's watch this just a minute. I don't want to bring something up. Just go ahead and start it when you get a chance. Oh, yeah. Okay, go down to the next one, the bottom one. Scroll down to it, yeah. That one right there, yeah. Watch this video real quick. Starting small and finishing strong.
Hey, welcome to Tuesdays with Sam Chan. My name's Daniel Floyd, and I want to talk to you about starting small and finishing strong. You know, I found in life that life isn't really about the major milestones. It's about consistent movement. It's not about the big moments in life. It's about the small moments that lead us to the big moment. But the problem is this. Most of our culture and most of us as people, we celebrate the big moments. So you don't send out an invitation for people to attend your first date, but you do for the wedding. It's the big moment. You don't send out invitations for people to come and watch you study, but you do when you graduate. No one's patting you on the back when you save a little bit every month. But they do celebrate you when you have the down payment on the home and you make the purchase. And if they're good friends, they help you move in, right? And so we celebrate the milestones. And so we can begin to think in our mind that life is all about the milestone. And in our leadership, we can think it's about the event. It's about the big moment. But it really is about the little moments that lead us to the big moments. And to get there, it requires something called commitment. And I know we all know this, but oftentimes we aren't willing to put in the commitment required to take us to the next level. You know, it takes another level of commitment from where you currently are to take you to the next level that you want to go to. It's the commitment that's required to personally develop yourself when no one is looking, no one's patting you on the back, and no one's giving you any accolades. It's the willingness to discipline your body to get where you want to go physically. Whatever it may be in your life, to go to another level is going to require another level of discipline from you. But I would propose that that begins with starting small. Exodus chapter 23, God tells the nation of Israel, I'm going to give you this land, but I want you to know something. I'm not going to give it to you all at once. I think that's the grace of God, that he doesn't give us our whole vision at one time, but because we probably couldn't handle it. But he says this to them. He says, I'm going to drive them out little by little. In other words, as you expand and your capacity grows, I'm going to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And he says this to them. He said, if I didn't push them out little by little and I pushed them out all at one time, then wild animals would take over the land and you couldn't handle everything that I want to put into your hands. And so I want to encourage you today, not to so much focus on the milestones. They're great, they're wonderful, the mountaintop experience, celebrating the goodness of God, that's awesome. But maybe you would focus on the little things. Maybe today you would do one little thing and do it again tomorrow and do it again tomorrow and do it again the next day and do it again the next day. And the consistent, repetitive habits that you build would lead you to the moments that you've dreamed about and that you've prayed for. Maybe it's one new book you need to read today or start. Maybe it's more time in prayer. Maybe it's another time in the Word. Maybe it's one, whatever that little thing is, start small and then finish strong. And if you'll start small and finish strong, then little by little, God will push back the thing that is pushing against you, and you will possess all the land that He has promised to you.
Amen. 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 Isn't that good?
Yes.
Now, what was the C word He used in that? It takes what? Commitment. Everybody say commitment.
Commitment.
That's not a bad word. I didn't cuss. Everybody say commitment.
Commitment.
And so, start small, but finish strong. Amen. So think about this in your experience with our mission and co-mission, your commitment. Now, you remember we shared in our member class, and I'll just kind of review. These are things under our united purpose as a member of a local body of Christ that we have to commit to. Remember, we said the membership covenant. So that's why you have the book. You got to commit to be a member, a good church member. A functioning church member, a unifying church member. Why? Because we said it's a commitment to God and the church, His church, the church. So how is your commitment to God and to TWCC? And then we said the other commitment is the maturity covenant. So that's a commitment to what? To the habits necessary for spiritual growth, as he was talking about, reading a book. We gave you a small book, easy read. But you know, it's a struggle for people just to read a little bit of book.
Amen.
Your life's so busied up, and you got so many TV and Netflix shows to watch that you can't read one book. Because we said the thing about growth is if you don't grow, things don't happen.
That's right.
You don't get transformed. You don't get changed.
Amen.
God, healthy things grow. So it's a commitment to the habits. What habit do you need? More prayer time. Coming early, saints, to pre-service prayer, not coming in right after pre-service prayer. A commitment. Commitment to pray about the people that you got on your list at the beginning of the year, saying, this is who I'm believing and trusting God to come in and see, receive Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. A commitment to pray for them every day.
Amen.
What about that?
Amen.
It's the little things. Song of Solomon says it this way. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You got to do the little things well. In other words, you got to have the faith to step out, but also the faithfulness to stick it out until you see the manifestation of God's faithfulness and goodness on your behalf and on our church's behalf. Amen?
Amen.
And so, and then there's the ministry covenant. Lost my place on my iPad there. A ministry covenant. That means I'm committed to do ministry with the family. What does that mean? That means I'm committed to discovering and using my gifts, God-given gifts and abilities, in serving God and others. Then I'm not saved to sit. I'm saved to serve.
Amen.
Amen? And then the last one is, can anybody tell me? Come on, class. Come on, church. It's mission covenant. Everybody say mission covenant. Mission covenant. This is a commitment to share the good news with others. That means your commitment is not once a year, because you look down at the second bullet point to the bottom. We said, according to recent Barna research, look on your paper, the average person shares their faith an average of 1.3 times a year. Is that commitment or not commitment?
Not commitment?
That's not commitment. 1.3 times? That means nobody knows your testimony, your story, how Jesus changed your life. Only 1.3 times a year? Hallelujah. This mission commitment is we're committed to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, with others. That means you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what is my to-do list? Amen. Don't just pray about the things you got to do list. Because a lot of times our prayer is just more all requests from God. But he may request you to share with somebody across the street, across the aisle, across the supermarket place, across the community. Pick up the phone and call a family member that you hadn't talked to in a long time. The Lord puts them on their heart. The best ability is availability. So when you say, Lord, I'm available for you to use me, that means you have humility, like we talked about in the opening. He must increase, we must decrease. In other words, you don't get used when you're using your own self all the time. You got to be humble. And so say, Lord, my time is in your hands. My day is your day. This is the day that who made? You didn't make the day. The Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will receive from your hand. I'll do what you want me to do. Say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. And if you help complete his to-do list, he will help you complete your to-do list. Isn't that good? You got to be committed to it. Praise the Lord. Now, last little bit here. We'll close. We have to penetrate in order to influence. You see those seven mountains there? I'll read the scripture. Isaiah 2:2. I'm on page 4 of our handout. Now it shall come to pass on the latter days that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established at the mountain, at the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations, everybody say all nations. All ethnicities shall flow into it. Amen. So he's talking about the mountains, these seven mountains of influence. We got the picture of it down there. Family, church, education, media. That means all ways of communicating, mass media, radio, TV, internet, social media, etc. Business, science and technology, government, and of course, performing arts, which is entertainment and athletics. Influence. We saw an example of influence in performance art because Jesus got a testimony in the NFL. Now, I appreciate it. Now, I know Brother Steve may not super appreciate it, but I know he appreciates it too. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? And, you know, the quarterback that got him there, Carson Wentz, testified. And he has even a blog and, you know, Instagram, Twitter following, that he gives testimonies of Jesus. He's in the ministry, but he's in the NFL. The backup quarterback, same thing. Jesus is Lord. What a testimony. The coach said, Jesus is Lord. Amen? And many people on the team said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. I'm so thankful that I'm an Eagles fan. But anyway, I just had to plug that in. But one of the things that Carson Wentz said on his Twitter followers is this. He said, I play, when they was asking about, you know, what he does and how he prepares. He said 16 something million people, you know, watching the Super Bowl, right? And these games, you know, each weekend. And he said I play for an audience of one. He said there may be 100,000 people out there looking in the stadium. And there may be millions of people watching on TV, but he said, when I'm playing for one person. And he said, that one person is Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And we ought to go to work. Amen. For an audience of one. Amen. I'm doing it as unto who? The Lord. If I'm cutting the grass, and my neighbors are out there. I'm out there doing it for an audience of who? One. Hallelujah. If you're working in a restaurant, if you're working in wherever, you're doing it for an audience of, Lord, I'm here for you. I will be salt and light for you. I will share and I will show you. Why? In order to influence. One of the first steps to create influence is to serve. Everybody say serve. And to serve. And so we don't exist just church, just to have spiritual social club. We don't exist, but we exist to see the lost saved, the lonely find the church home, the saved to faithfully serve. We exist to meet the needs of the community. We serve in the communities we've been called into, the cultures we've been called and serve into. Think about education. When you're a student, you go to school. Why do you go to school? Well, they told me I have to go to school. That's not the only reason you go to school. You go to school for an audience of one. I know I did that when I got born again. Man, I was on fire for the Lord. We used to pray. We started off with just a few of us. We started praying on the campus around the bell tower, and we got up to 16, and we got up to 30, and we were believing God, praying in the Spirit. You had people, because when you serve people, you're attractive. You invade by your service. You penetrate that culture by your service and unconditional love. You're in a hospital, you're in wherever you work. You are serving. First, your boss. You help them. You help the guy or the girl over you at work succeed. Amen. And then we as church, as a church member, you become an enabler. You enable the Lord to use your influence on that job. Because success is attractive and influential. When you're successful on that job, you bring an attractiveness and an influentialness about you to be able to ask people, what are you doing? What's causing you to be so successful? You never miss work. You're never late. You always finish your projects ahead of schedule. You always outproduce more than us. What's your secret? Amen. Open door now. Amen. Open door to share Christ. Now, if you shucking and jiving and sloughing and calling out and not being being insubordinate to your boss and talking about your boss, you're not serving them. You're really serving the devil and your flesh. That's why we learn in church in these group gatherings, because that's what we are all about. I'm closing with this thought. So if we have services or meetings, faith groups, classes, training, what are they about? What are they to be about? Just socializing, a social club? No. We ought to come to church expecting to be enabled. Amen. Expecting to be equipped, expecting to be encouraged, to be edified, and to be empowered. Amen. When we gather together. If we're not meeting for that reason, then we shouldn't have meetings. Because it's just not to have fried chicken and sit around and talk about our favorite pastimes. Amen. Because we become just a glorified Bless Me Club. We're here on a mission. We're here on an assignment. Praise God. Let's stand to your feet.